We Talk Podcast presents...
Welcome to a very special Stick Boy podcast. I'm Joel Johnson, and today me and Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot go back and predict what we think the next 11 months of pro wrestling look like in WWE.
What it is, what it do, welcome to a very special Stick Boy One Fall Podcast. Your host, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, with the one, the only, the talented, the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
It's going good, Joel, and we're going to pop into the DeLorean, into the Tortoise, whatever time traveling machine you want, and we're going into the future.
Ooh.
And we did this last year. And, you know, I think you and I did pretty good. I think the ones that stand out the most was you standing to find that Seth Rollins will be a WWE champion.
Yep.
Which came to truth. And me, Mr. Chad Gable, called that one. And he did pretty good for himself last year.
Yeah. He was noticed by Meltzer, so I think that's a positive thing.
So who will we find this year? Who will we miss on this year? One I kind of missed on was Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
No, I think she had an okay season, but I wouldn't consider her to be a breakout last year.
It seemed like she maybe had it at Brooklyn. Yeah. The Blake and Murphy thing, turning heel, kind of helped, but it's just kind of there. It didn't go anywhere further.
Exactly. It's kind of like Jay-Z likes to say, it's all right, but it's not real. I said that the whitest as possible.
Well, that's what we do here.
Yes, we do. We're corny. We're white. Get used to it.
Vince McMahon impressions.
Yeah. So let's look to what we got on the roster.
Oh, boy.
So this is kind of right here where we're going to break this up into four different things. This is guys that are currently in the WWE roster. Not necessarily that they're down in NXT or anything. Some guys may be in NXT and ready for the next step, but these are guys that are there, and some of them we already know. We saw some big stuff from them, but we're expecting even bigger things in 2016. And Joel, it's Stick Boy. I'll let you have the honors.
All right. Well, when we look at 2015, we look at there were a few shining stars from there. So looking forward to 2016, that stars that shine bright, that maybe will shine a bit brighter in 2016, I've got to go with my guy, Seth Rollins. I think that guy had a really good showing, even though he was pigeonholed in not the greatest situation, and he went out with an injury. I think we are going to get maybe not that level, but that Triple H return pop at Madison Square Garden when Rollins returns. Seth Rollins is going to be a babyface. It'd be very interesting to see if he came back.
Eventually.
But I think that Seth Rollins will coming back, and he's going to be coming out guns blazing. He had the taste of the tip of the mountain, and then it was taken away from him from a weird injury that really seemed kind of like it wasn't Kane's fault, it wasn't Seth's fault, it was just kind of a slip. And I think that when he comes back in, he's going to be burning bright, and he's going to be ready to curb stomp, pedigree, whatever he's going to do to whatever other superstars around him. And I think he's going to be a guy we will be talking about by the end of 2016.
Yeah, Seth Rollins is a great pick. Obviously, he's someone that I was looking at as well. And the crazy thing with him is this is the guy that can only possibly have a four-month window in 2016.
Yep.
So limited time to really, showcase his skills. But, you know, in that time to looking at possible SummerSlam, no doubt that by the end of the year, I wouldn't be shocked to see him back with gold around his waist.
No, neither would I.
All right, I guess we'll move on.
Yeah. Well, what's your guy?
One of the guys I'm looking at is Kevin Owens.
Totally agree.
He came in with a bang in the summer of 2015 and didn't really look back. And I think, not to jump too far ahead, but, I think we can, without question, expect a feud with a guy that also on this list is Sami Zayn.
Yep.
Both these guys, you know, had hot years last year. Sami lost a lot of his time, but I think with the rumored for WrestleMania for Kevin Owens facing either AJ Styles or Undertaker, you know, either one of those programs are going to be hot, and the fans are going to love it. And you know, just the little things that he does, going to the recent Royal Rumble that we just saw, where he gets thrown over the table and he claws a Michael Cole's face, and just little things here and there, little nuances that you just don't get to see from many wrestlers. He's very old school in that sense of making sure every single thing is done, and he's very tedious. You can tell about what he does and why he does it. There's a reason behind everything, which is kind of almost rare nowadays in wrestling.
No, I totally agree with you. I think that, to add to your point, I think that Kevin Owens is a rare talent of a guy that moves like a luchador, is built like a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not physically, like, he doesn't look like he's sculpted, but no. He's just solid. He's a guy that he would step on you and you'd be like, I'm dead. I think both those combinations work, but the biggest thing that makes Kevin Owens work, and you've said it, it's the little things. It's the when he's talking in the ring. He's so entertaining. And when you just see that he is always, his brain is always firing. He's always thinking. Like, you look at when he's on Twitter dealing with trolls, mm-hmm. he's shooting them down left and right, and he's doing it in different ways, and he's having fun with it.
Yeah.
I think that Kevin Owens is definitely a guy that will have that full 2016 year, hopefully, knock on wood, to really shine, and he could easily outshine 90% of the roster.
And here's another really key part about Owens. He's in that Teflon territory, and by that I mean, you know, he just had a feud with Dean Ambrose. He lost all three matches, but you watch him, and he really isn't too affected by it.
Nope.
And he should be affected by it. This is a prize fighter. His goal should be winning every single match, but he loses these matches. Comes the next night, you're scared, he's going to kick your ass. It's kind of what Kane had for a little bit.
Yep.
And then it kind of faded a little bit at the end there with Kane. But when you see Kevin Owens come into the ring, you get worried, being the opponent or the viewer, that there's going to be an ass whoop.
Yeah. And even when, because we'd had this conversation multiple times on Roman Reigns as being, there's certain things done for little kids. Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens scares little kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. And that's a great point. I never thought of that. He lost all the big matches, yet somehow we're still like, well, I want to watch more Kevin Owens. So.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't, like, look at last year, for example, Joel, where Bray Wyatt, you know, had that feud against Dean Ambrose, coincidentally, and, he won every single match against Dean Ambrose, every single match on his way to a possible Undertaker feud. And here we are, as we record this, one of the possibilities for Kevin Owens is to face The Undertaker. I'm not saying it will. I think there's more likely. It's probably something we're going to mention soon. But the ability to still have a potential to be in an Undertaker program and still look strong enough to be in an Undertaker program, despite losing all your matches and losing a title in the process, is pretty phenomenal.
Yep. I totally agree with you, and if you don't mind, I'd like to sneak another name in here. That's all right. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely. I think we're good on KO.
I totally agree with you. I love Kevin Owens. I think he's a phenomenal talent, and the more he's on my TV, the happier I am.
Absolutely.
But the other name that I think will shine, I don't think he's going to shine super bright, like he's going to like burn out retinas. But he's going to shine is AJ Styles.
You know, I think, again, if you can believe what the setup of matches are that you and I have talked about with, I think, if the Kevin Owens stuff is true, with going to WrestleMania versus Kevin Owens, for example, or whoever else he does, and then ending there, and then going right into the Balor Club stuff till the summertime, I think it's someone that has a nice, steady balance of good booking ahead of them. Well, at least it looks potential that it's pretty easy one-on-one booking with AJ Styles.
Yeah. And I mean, you look at him, his ring entrance, his ring theme song is at Sasha Banks level. Mm-hmm. I need it because it's just a good song in a lot of ways.
It's different. It's something we haven't heard for a long time. You know, someone brought up the point to me that, you know, they love Kevin Owens and they don't mind Kevin Owens' theme song, but play Dean Ambrose theme and Kevin Owens theme and Seth Rollins theme next side to side to them, and they're kind of the same repeated guitar riff.
Yeah.
And this one is just the church and the gospel and the choir.
And the it's a
much different.
It.
Yeah, it's a much different feeling. But that has nothing to do with him being a future superstar of the year this year.
No. It's little things like that that help add. There are a few things that he can definitely improve on. I'm not sitting here saying that he walked in and he's king of WWE already. He's got work to do to work within that WWE system, but I think he's smart enough and has been around long enough that he just gets it.
That's why I'm not worried. He's a leader, right? He's a leader. He's been in the locker room. He's been in the New Japan Dojo. He has respect too, which. I think, you know, I think the one thing that really is important for AJ Styles, you know, he has friends that are already in that locker room, like in Austin Creed, the Wisconsin Princess Creed in TNA, that he can walk in and he's not going to have to worry as much, at least I think, about politics. Yeah. And he can just worry about adjusting himself into WWE. And, you know, you saw it his first night. He's like, this is where I always should have been.
Yeah.
And now it's time to prove that.
Yep. I think, and that's the biggest thing. That's why I'm not saying he's going to burn super bright, but he's definitely going to be a guy that will have, he'll shine a bit for sure. And I think, Josh, I got to ask you, did you think last year we'd be talking about AJ Styles shining bright in WWE?
Absolutely not.
This, in a matter of a month, a dream came true for a lot of wrestling fans. Like, I looked at one of the biggest things that I was like, I'm not too worried about him is that reaction he got.
Yeah.
At the Royal Rumble. It's a lot of smarks, we'll admit that, but people were genuinely happy to have him in WWE. And you even saw he got a decent reaction in on Raw. It's going to take time to establish him.
Here's a really cool story really quickly here. So Bill Simmons on his podcast, his son is a huge wrestling fan, and his son is a huge Roman Reigns fan. But he saw AJ Styles come out, and Bill obviously had heard, you know, he's friends with Meltzer and all those guys, so Bill kind of has an idea of stuff that's going to happen. But his son found out about AJ Styles and apparently like jumped on the internet and wanted to read more about him.
And I think that's one of the cool things now, because this is one of the things we were talking about, and this helps AJ in a lot of ways, and this helps a lot of guys, is like an Austin Aries, a Seth Rollins / Tyler Black, a Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, is people see these guys and you hear a little rumbling. Oh, they were here. You should have seen what they did in ROH.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a Google search away, and you can find YouTube videos of what these guys have done. And I think that helps certain guys shine brighter. I think that's what helped Brian shine so bright when he finally hit that Nova level of over.
Yeah.
It was just knowing that people can look and see and like, holy crap, this guy was kicking people's heads in. He was wrapping them up in all these submissions. And this helps a lot of guys, as you can see a Kevin Steen, what he did. I think, and we can go back, and that's one of the cool things that WWE's really done is the YouTube videos. You can go back and watch these moments. So you have AJ Styles' entrance on YouTube that you can go and watch. And you can see him walk down to the ring. And it's like, holy crap. You can have when Daniel Bryan was in the steel cage with Bray Wyatt and that insane moment where he was controlling the crowd and controlling the speed of saying yes. It's little things like that that help push talent further. And I think this helps talent burn brighter, is when people can go and watch these little moments that they hold close to their hearts, because there's wrestling moments that you're like, I'm always going to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it just helps solidify that and helps fan those fires. So I think Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles all have a lot of good things going for them that I think is going to help make them the bright stars of WWE.
And I think AJ is really on that path. You know, the merchandise is already sold out. And we saw it in his first little bit with the company already, that he has the moveset to do it. He has a good look to it. He has a little bit of a mysterious side to him. You know, he isn't the best at talking, and they've done a good job with that so far.
Yeah.
And the teasing of the Styles Clash, it's really a lot to a character building up, and it's like the writers know for the first time how to handle someone.
Yeah. You got to think, how much money with it's and I think that you speaking of writing, there's some guys that they just don't know how to handle. Like, I think Seth's reign kind of hurt him in 2015 a little bit, because there were moments that were a little bit like, same with
reason why he fell out of my Superstar of the Year.
Yeah, you look at stuff with KO where he kind of trailed off there a little bit. It was hard to keep that Nova level of rising happening for him, so he trailed off a little bit. But I think with AJ, they haven't set the bar, like they haven't done too many things to kind of really elevate him into that really big main event scene where he has to win. It's kind of that slow little baby steps with him. It's like, okay, we're going to take this step. We're going to take this step.
And in a way, he's already at a Brian level for the fans. I think we can see him stealing positions in scenes and getting chants that they may not want him to have, but he will.
Yeah.
And we've seen this happen that with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan recently, that the cream always rises to the top.
Yep.
Those guys seldom don't get to that area because they have the work ethic, and we know that AJ has it.
Yeah.
If you're going to make it in New Japan, it's not by a fluke.
No.
It, much like in WWE. So this guy has the talent to do it, and he will do it.
Yeah. I think all three of these guys, like to keep it kind of going, is all three of these guys have that drive that, no, I need to be the guy. And Kevin Owens, even in an interview, said, I'll be WWE champion. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So he feels it within his soul that he will be a WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And that, to me, is a positive sign for all three of these guys.
Well, as we move on, a great poet once said, had a dream that I made it. And that is another song from Sasha. That's a lyric from Sasha Banks, the Boss, who put a mark on 2015, mind you, and 2016 I don't think will be any different for Sasha Banks.
What more can we say? I think this podcast, there should be a little section talking about, yes, we like Sasha Banks. That's it. There should be like a little stamp that we put. We like Sasha Banks.
I knew how much I liked Sasha Banks when I marked out for her just as hard as AJ Styles.
Like, both of us popped when she came out, and like you couldn't even hear her theme music at first, Josh.
No, because it was a little legitimate, like, yes, we're finally getting it, because we had been waiting for Sasha to be at this level. You know, the Divas Revolution, let's just say it was a failure, but it doesn't matter. We'll look back at that and be like, that's where it started, and you're not going to remember anything than a few of these random, you know, tag matches or anything like that, and in a way, maybe you'll look at it with rose-colored glasses in a few years, as hard as that's to believe.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely some wrestling stuff that you look through with rose-colored glasses and go, that was fantastic. Then when you actually see it, you're like, maybe not.
Good era.
There's something we talk about. Sasha Banks is in that class of Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, and Seth Rollins.
Absolutely. She's the most... I don't know. She's the most marketable woman, to me she is. I think some people would maybe give it to a Charlotte, but I think Sasha has everything you need. And you know, I found that very evident in a recent episode of Total Divas too, where she kind of hit her face a little bit. So she doesn't want to be part of the Total Divas kind of scene. She's just focused on wrestling.
Yeah.
It's all she cares about. It's all she wants to be. She's Eddie Guerrero was her hero. Growing up, it wasn't Michael Jordan. It wasn't, I'm trying to think of a baseball player, Manny Ramirez. I'm trying to think of a baseball player who did steroids, but Dale did steroids. But she grew up in Boston, so Manny Ramirez. It wasn't one of those guys. It was Eddie Guerrero. It was Chris Benoit. It was Triple H. It was these Y2J. Guys in the ring. It was Y2J, absolutely Y2J. It was Mick Foley and going to a place and getting the picture with him and going with her Uncle Snoop and getting backstage just for the hopes that Vince McMahon would randomly notice her, as silly as that sounds. She has lived and breathed and died wrestling more than anybody else in the ring, in that company, almost. And she gets to live her dream. And every single time she gets in, from the total, again, those nuances of taking Izzy's ears or whatever she had and healing it up and making her cry and that's why I'm really excited too about maybe the possibility of seeing her face, because we haven't really seen Sasha as a face, and I think she has just as inspirational story to be a face.
I think the best thing for a face Sasha Banks, because I think that's where they're going to be going, is just letting her be a tweener. Kind of that little, that Eddie Guerrero, that...
Ooh, I was going to say that too.
Not saying that, like, having her come out and say lie, cheat, and steal, but that little, like, that tricky, but you still get behind her because you're like, that's Sasha Banks. She can do whatever she wants in the ring. Just...
And I think it's kind of how you, not to interrupt there, but it's kind of how you looked at Eddie. It's like, ah, I still love you no matter what you do.
Oh, yeah. It's that little thing of like, you laugh and giggle when he passes the chair off to someone else and he lays there and he's like, I'm hurt. And then you get that little smug Eddie smile that you're like, I think that's where they go with Sasha. And I think that's good because you look at Charlotte, who has cheated and used Flair to cheat. It's been that kind of that smug, like, I'm Ric Flair's daughter.
Said that up perfectly because, you know, as you go into what looks like to be the WrestleMania program, you go in with this entitled brat that is wrestling, part of wrestling royalty. And here's this girl. She had a famous uncle, famous background herself with Snoop Dogg, but she still had the grind and hustle to get everything in. Snoop didn't help her get in. She got in herself. She grinded. She doesn't have anyone to help her.
Nope. And I think, because let's face it, it's going to be a triple threat at least at Fastlane. And you have Becky, who is this clean-cut, good guy, the stereotypical baby face, who has sacrificed so much, so far away from home. You have three very different females. They're three very different female characters. And I think we know which one shines the brightest out of all of them.
Yes, we do. And, you know,
Naomi, right?
Naomi, definitely. The wrestling ability as well goes without standard. I think, you know, my dream that I've talked to you is I was going to say the first woman intercontinental champion, because we're not counting China, I guess.
Not anymore.
But I think, you know, in all seriousness, I think, you know, you hear Jericho talking about his match with China and how he was scared to face a woman and stuff like that. I think a lot of guys in the roster would welcome wrestling a Sasha Banks in that type of match, because she is that good.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with you. She could step into a ring and take on, like, she'd have to take on a certain guy, because if you had her in the ring with Josh, AJ Styles?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. To me, she's, maybe I'm going to get criticized for this quote, but I'm going to die on this hill. She is the Ronda Rousey type of level in the WWE, where, you know, maybe while we're recording this, Ronda doesn't look the greatest after losing to Holly Holm. But nonetheless, she has the ability, much like we did with Ronda, to step in with anybody and have a chance to win.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And she has that that feeling of...
But not Big Show. I will say she went against Big Show. Maybe not, but no, Rey Mysterio, so you never know.
Yeah. I think that Sasha is... There's a lot of positive qualities. It's really hard. Like, I think we kind of look at it through rose-colored glasses for her at some
Absolutely.
Point.
I think it's because, you know, you, all respect to the women, the divas, I hate that term, in the world of the WWE at the very least. I think TNA, I give them some praise, that the knockout division kind of said this idea that these women can wrestle. And we had it in WWE with girls like Trish and Lita and Molly Holly and Victoria and Jazz. But what we have right now is not even nothing compared to that.
No. Like, right now, just with, like, for me, it goes like this. It goes Sasha, Bailey,
Natty.
Yeah, Natty's still there. Yeah. Like, I mean, just in regards to the NXT women, it goes Sasha, Bailey, Becky, and Charlotte. I still just don't... Charlotte still... I've really fallen off with Charlotte. But...
Just... I think you and I had this realization, and I know that we're supposed to talk more about the future, and we'll continue, but is that Charlotte... we almost wonder, is it more sometimes who's in the ring with her? She has proven that's not always the case.
No.
But those other two seem to elevate her even higher when she's with them.
And I think this, like, looking at the future for Sasha Banks, it looks bright. Bearing an injury, that's always the only thing that we have to keep an eye on for. Mm. Bearing an injury, she could be off in the moon.
Could you say she could be the boss?
She could definitely be the boss of
all right, the well, women's division. Let's continue and roll on here, Joel. Let's get about maybe 2-3 more picks each, and then we'll move on.
Oh, more picks. Guys that I think will shine bright. You know what? This is a name we didn't talk about at all at any point until now, but it's Brock Lesnar. Like
interesting pick.
He 2016, he's got a few more dates from what I've heard, so he's just going to come in and do more, and it's just going to be, even with the rumored program of the Bray Wyatts, it's Brock Lesnar. I mean, the guy's matches will never be technically sound, but it's Brock Lesnar, and that's all it really kind of needs to be. I think he's going to still be a shining star throughout 2016.
I really can't even debate anything on there, yeah.
Like, you know, I think he's almost at that level of being made out of Teflon, where even if he is working with the Bray, the Wyatts, and it's a little bit of a drop-off from what he has been working with, I think it's just positioning him to work with other guys down the line.
I think Brock's in this weird category, because it's interesting you pick him as the future guy, and you put him with those kind of up-and-comers still, even though some of them have made it. Brock's in this weird territory of what now? Because he's done the big programs. He's done the Undertaker. He's done the John Cena. He's done the Triple H. You know, the Rock one will always be out there and will always wonder. But it's kind of what now?
Yeah.
Like, what can he do these things against Brock Lesnar or a Sheamus or maybe a Randy Orton? And how can they come off?
Yeah, like the one thing that I think hurts Brock in a way is this rumor of him not losing or he can't lose.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely kind of hinders booking wise, but I mean the guy could step in the ring with an AJ Styles. They both have history with the IWGP heavyweight title.
Yep.
I mean, you could have both of them work a match, and Styles being a little bit quicker. Like, I want to see Brock work with, like, a Styles, a Cesaro, or a Bryan, that quicker guy.
Absolutely.
Because he's worked with so many big guys lately, like Hunter. Punk was a perfect example of what a little guy can do with him, and that was a fun match.
Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
You look at it, he's worked with Cena, Hunter, he's worked with Taker, all these bigger guys. Bray is a little bit smaller, so I'm really interested to see what they can do. We could be really kind of down on everything right now and kind of go, I don't know. But him and Bray could have a really good match.
I'm going to move on now.
Yep.
Great pick there. This one, to me, I'd almost put a 80% chance this guy's a WWE champion next year and a Money in the Bank winner possibly too. Possibly in the biggest storyline next year, and that's Finn Balor.
Oh yeah, he was in the next one for me. Like,
yeah,
he.
You could really, to me, lead off this year because this is the guy that can be Superstar of the Year. There's that much high of expectations on him. I think that's why both of us kind of wanted to save him because to me, he's the biggest. What if he's the biggest? Can't miss. It's everything together, especially with the rumors of the Balor Club or the Bullet Club or whatever. Everything he does, the Demon, everything put together. But another rumor Undertaker opponent, it's just everything put together. It seems impossible not to miss, Joel. It seems like the bullseye on the dartboard is just the red.
Yeah. No, yeah, and you're totally, I can't argue with that at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he's come in, he's going to have I'm saying it, he's going to have some buddies coming in, and I think that Bullet Club, Balor Club, it's going to be a hot thing because that was a hot thing outside of WWE, and now WWE gets to own a piece of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he has the look.
Yep.
He has the in-ring style. He has every component to be the guy.
Yeah. He is fluid, as he could be a face or a heel. He can do either or.
Yeah.
and I think that works perfectly. I think this guy is benefiting from the NXT, the WWE.
I think he's benefiting from the top guy right now, teeter tottering.
Yeah, and I think he's just. I think when he steps into that through those curtains, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. That's Finn Balor. That's the guy that, you know, we talk about Roman Reigns being the face of the company. You know, it is awfully getting crowded, and I don't know if there's room for Roman, especially for a talent like Finn Balor. I think he's got a lot of positives, like you've said. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of potential good storylines. He's mm-hmm. a guy that can he could work with a Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone bad they can work with. And if they're doing what we think they're doing, bringing in the Balor Club, then it's just too perfect.
Yep. I'm really excited. Finn Balor is definitely one of those guys that I'll sit there and I'll be like, no, I'm excited to see what he does. I'm really, really excited to see where Finn goes from.
The question is, Joel, do we see him before Mania or at the night after Mania?
I think he'll be after.
Yeah, because I think you have to save that big surprise for the night after. The only thing is, you and I, if we had our choice, as much as I love Kevin Owens, and we talked about Kevin Owens and Undertaker, this is who I want for the Undertaker.
Oh, God, it'd be perfect. And you have it built as a respect of this just being two guys wanting to go at it.
The Demon of Death Valley versus the Demon.
Yep. And what you do is Taker can take another loss at WrestleMania. I don't think it's going to kill him, but you have...
Or you have the Bullet Club come out and destroy the Undertaker.
That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
Because you have Machine Gun, you have Doc, then you have Styles come out. So you think about it. You have all these guys come out... hit their finishers, the Styles clash on the Undertaker.
Yeah, it's kind of in a way, like, to a degree, with the NWO taking out Randy Savage first.
Yeah.
He's kind of one of the symbols. And Sting, it should have been Sting, really, in a way, but it was the Hogan turning. But you know what I'm saying. It's the symbol of the WWE, and they're taking over.
Yeah, and then you just... It's what the Nexus should have been.
Exactly. Joel, shoot, we get about two more each, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, I think one more will suffice. I'm certain there are other segments. But my one is a little off the board. It's not anyone on the main roster yet. Mm-hmm. It's his name's hard to pronounce for me, so bear with me. It's that La Sombra.
Oh, interesting. You could use that in the next one, though. Really.
I think that he's going to start to grow, and I think just based on everything I've heard, everything that I've seen from him, is the guy is just going to be able to come into NXT and make an impact. And I think that's another thing that we really have to look at is it doesn't have to be a shining star on the main roster right now. It can be a shining star in NXT, and I think by the end of 2016, he's going to be one of the shining stars.
Not a bad pick. I'll move on here. With my last pick, I'm kind of cheating. I have some honorable mentions that I'll do, but solid pick to me. Fingers crossed, Cesaro.
Yeah, that was another name that was kind of floating around in my head of like, but it's just kind of like, you know, go a little off the board. Cesaro is an easy name to kind of no offense to you.
No, absolutely. Again, I love your pick. It's off the board. It's kind of like my Gable last year. It's like if you're swinging for the fences, and it's going to either be like a home run or it could just be a nice little single.
And I said Seth Rollins, so I can't be it no. can't be all bad for the scoreboard for me.
I think that Cesaro really showed down the stretch. That last match with Roman Reigns, he showed the personality that Vince had wanted him to show. He showed the charisma. He showed what he could do in the ring constantly, and it unfortunately really seemed that he was starting to gain some momentum up to that last match with Roman Reigns, and then the injury seemed to come at the worst possible time.
Oh yeah, like he can go in the ring with anyone. He could wrestle. He's a guy that I'd love to see Brock wrestle, because God only knows what Cesaro can pull off.
And then I just want to put one honorable mention, because I mean, it's my dude Chad Gable and Jason Jordan. I think that these two, as soon as they get called up to the roster, if they even do this year, even if they're just on NXT, They're running shit. They, to me, are the best overall tag team in the company, next to maybe the New Day and the Usos.
Yeah.
And also, you got to throw Sami Zayn as well.
Oh yeah, both names. Like, I don't have any honorable mentions because I think you've hit the head on the nail with both of them.
All right. So next is going to be going down to NXT or any kind of people that are unknown. You took one of those and threw them into the other category, which is totally cool. I like it. I respect it. It's a smart pick to go with. But so who's down in NXT or someone in Japan or someone in Ring of Honor, someone in TNA that not many people have heard of? Maybe there is a little bit of a whisper and we've seen a little bit of them that you think could make a really big mark and not necessarily are going to get a call up, but are going to make a big mark and maybe have some people talking this time next year as a impact player for 2017.
I think, and this could have easily been a pick for the last category. It's a little risky. I'm going to take another chance, but I think it's Nakamura.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was a staple in New Japan. They desperately wanted to keep him in New Japan, and that to me speaks volumes for who that guy is, his charisma, what he brought to New Japan. And now with him being finished with New Japan officially, sounds like he's going to be going in for his medical and everything. I think he's a guy that if he's on the main roster, I think he'll do fine. I think there'll be some shining moments. I don't think it'll be as high as AJ, but I think he'll be a guy that next year will be like, oh, this guy next year is going to really hit the ground running.
I mean, well, he is a very known name and commodity, and I can hear people yelling that he's not unknown. I think you're hitting it on the head with this because it's a risk, this pick, in some ways, for him, not for the WWE, because of the lack of English, the lack of WWE style, and just the lack of North American style. It could either be a disaster or it could be beautiful.
Yeah, and you know what? You can't help but get behind the guy because he is taking a big risk. He's coming to a foreign country,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't had the greatest track record, but he wants to give it a go. So he's got my full support. King of Strong Style.
Moving on, and now this is where Josh goes off the board and tries to go back-to-back years. So the first of the picks is we're going to go with the Diva, and that's Peyton Royce, an Aussie. You know, I've seen a little bit of her in NXT, and I've liked what I've seen from her. I think she's the next generation of NXT diva that is someone we're going to start to root for. I think she, you know, she's kind of like Bayley and Sasha, that she needs to find a little bit more of her personality, but she can definitely do it in the ring, and I expect big things from her in 2016, maybe even a title shot against someone down the road.
No, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, there's a lot of people that are not internet darlings and just the guys that we all know about. There's small guys in NXT that could definitely come in and make a bit of a splash. There's nothing wrong with it.
And that's the thing with Peyton, you know, they're in need of new divas, and you know, let's face it, I don't really see much out of Carmella.
No,
I think she's a great act on the side. With Enzo and Cass, you know, all respect to Eva Marie. I actually had her on this list as an honorable mention because I think she has improved greatly, and people are starting to hate her, and she knows how to be a heel.
Yep.
But she's still got a lot of work to do, but she has greatly improved in that area. And Nia Jax is up and down. They can't really figure what it is, but I think with Peyton, it's that next great woman's wrestler they're going to have. There's another one too that I'll leave for maybe one of us to say, but I think Peyton is the next Bayley, the next Sasha for them.
I don't disagree. I think if it's all right, I'm going to go with my pick now.
Mm-hmm.
Is back-to-back women is Oksana.
Asuka.
See,
yeah, you keep on saying Oksana. It's not Oksana.
I keep butchering this name.
It's Asuka.
Asuka.
Oksana was Lithuanian.
Asuka.
And she dated Teddy Long.
Asuka.
Yeah, but definitely. I think Peyton and Asuka are the future of the division.
Yeah. Like, she's got that look. She has the mask. So she has merchandise. She it feels like a woman that could kick your head in for real.
Yes.
Like, if you crossed her, you're like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die now. She's got that. She has that whole feel of being a big deal. She's good in the ring. Like, I think she's not going to be, like, a big... She's going to be a medium to big player in 2016. And then 2017, I think, is the year that the roof blows off and she's just let loose. And I think she comes up to the main roster in 2017. Give her a full year of 2016 NXT goodness, and then she's good for the main roster.
I mean, I 100% agree. I think that she's one of those girls that just has this different style to her, too. In some ways, she kind of reminds me, in a way, when I saw Awesome Kong for the first time.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this girl is different. You know, she has a different style to her. It's kind of like a Nakamura of the women in some ways, Joel.
Yeah. No, and I think that's perfect. If they book Nakamura like they book her, it's good.
And we've seen her down in the roster right now. She's proving what she can do. To great success.
No, and I totally I like her feud with Emma. Like Emma, like that match at London was a little sloppy, but I think that you saw that there was enough potential there that as long as they keep it a straight match, she's fine.
All right, time for Josh to go off the books again for someone I don't even know if Joel's heard of. I'm gonna go back to back in back to back years. You know how I love my athletes, Joel.
Yeah.
Angelo Dawkins.
I've heard of him.
Angelo Dawkins. He is a former football, wrestling, and track champion athlete. Went to The Ohio State University. He's been doing a few things on the tour, so he hasn't been on TV. I don't know if he's even been on at all. But much like with Gable, I think when you have these type of athletes, they have superiority. He seems like he has a lot of charisma as well.
Yeah.
Which is something that I look for. That's one thing with Gable that I saw, that he had the wrestling ability in the ring and he had the charisma. And I see the same with Angelo.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think that's a little bit more risky. I think Chad just kind of were like, okay, you know, this kid's got it. Let's go. Let's see what he's got. You know, I totally agree with you. I think that, yeah, I love when athletes come in and shine and are like the Kurt Angles. I love those success stories.
And I like his look too. He has the headbands going. I think that could be very marketable.
Yep.
I think he's got a good look to him. And, you know, as we move on with NXT and they're going to have to find new stars with guys like Finn going and probably Enzo and Cass and maybe the Vaude Villains and Blake and Murphy, that they're going to have to be new talent. That's where I think a Peyton comes through and Asuka comes through. And Hawkins.
Yep. My last pick.
Yeah.
My last pick. Is the Evolve champion Timothy Thatcher.
Nice.
He is like the partnership with Evolve just has opened the door for these different guys, and he's had some run-ins with some WWE talent. So obviously there is that Hunter kind of keep an eye with Gabe Spolky. Going, you know, I like this kid. Is there anything we can do with him? I think let him do. It's not going to be a 2016 run for him. It's not going to be a 2017 run. But I think there's going to be progression for him. And I think as long as the stars align and all the cards line up, he could be one of the big players in five years for WWE.
I don't disagree with you. I think he could be one of them.
I think the biggest thing with all our picks right now, like throwing them all in, is they're a big of maybe not, but there's so much talent potential there that you're like, at least one of them got to stick.
I'm going to stay in your theme here, and then we'll just rally off some names, and then we'll move on to the last subject. I'm not going WWE in this one. I'm going to Ring of Honor.
Yep.
Moose. Big brooding, another big brooding athlete. I'm like JR with my football players. But a big brooding athlete. He had a match on the recent NXT against Michael Elgin and Jay Briscoe. I really liked his look. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Bobby Lashley. Yeah. And he, he's got me excited. He's a, he played in the NFL for about 6-7 years. I don't know how much can happen. It's someone that I just watching Ring of Honor was like, I'm really impressed with the way this guy moved in the ring. He's got a lot of work to do, but you know, there's something to be said about those big guys that can move around, get those big spots in, and very athletic. Obviously, has a good personality to him. So someone to look out for in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I think like he is definitely rough around the edges, but there's definitely potential there.
Absolutely. And then, you know, I think, you know, there's names there that are on their way that we could throw out there. I think one name that comes to both of our minds would be Apollo Crews.
Yep.
I think, you know, I think to me, the one thing that's holding him back is the personality.
Yeah. But I think it's, that's something that they can work on and grow with him.
Because he has money written all over him.
Oh, yeah.
And,
that
you know,
smile.
The smile, and we talk about Joel constantly. We so badly, and they so badly, need that first African-American champion, if you don't count The Rock as it.
Yeah.
Some people do, some people don't. It's a whole thing. But if you want the first, which I hate this word, the first pure African-American, even though he's not from America, he's Nigerian, champion, it's Apollo Crews.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and I think it could happen.
Yep, and you know, another guy that I think is a little bit rough around the edges that I see maybe as a good comedic character is Bull Dempsey.
Yep. Bullfit?
Bullfit, but I mean, he could also be a guy that could be cut this year and I'd maybe find his way on the independents. Okay, we got two more subjects and then we're out of here. This one's a sad one. Guys that they're probably going to drop the ball on, or they've started to drop the ball on, and maybe need to go to the Indies, back to NXT. I think there's a number one leading candidate.
Hey, let's keep this to two names, so it's not two.
Yeah. I think to me, there's really only one. It is Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, I can't even think of another name. Tyler Breeze is that's the name that I was going to be chomping at the bit. It's a guy that wanted desperately to be on the main roster, and he got his wish, and
yeah,
didn't work out.
I think you and I knew it as soon as it happened. It's like, it's not going to work. You and I said, maybe wait till February for Zoolander. Maybe with Zoolander coming back out, he gets a second life as a character.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I had talked myself into him because I thought, oh, he's kind of like early Shawn Michaels because he is in the ring and he's the pretty boy, and that can work. Because, you know, I think both of us have talked ourselves into it because they paired him with Summer.
Yeah.
She had gotten out of that disastrous Dolph Ziggler-Russo feud. And, you know, I think some of us, we gained a little bit of respect for Summer, you know, being on Renee's show, and she showed how much she loved the business and stuff, and she proved that she'd be a decent valet at the very least.
Yeah.
And it just tumbled down like a house of cards.
Yeah. You know, I think there's another name that we could probably throw in there, and that's Rusev.
Yeah, that one breaks my heart, because I think Rusev is super talented. You look where he was this time last year, though. And now he's just getting quickly thrown out of Royal Rumbles. He's getting put through tables. He's getting blasted by The Rock.
Which, that whole Rock-Lana thing was directed by WWE officials, higher-ups, because they were mad at Lana.
Nuclear heat. I still like Rusev. I think, you know, I hate to admit this, because I don't think he should go this way. He's got some great comedic timing. He can still be a great comedic character.
Yeah,
but I think I hope Roo-roo. That they, I hope they bring him back to the Beast and the Beatdown and maybe get him away from the League of Nations.
Yeah, I think he needs a little bit of. It always helps when some guys go away for a little bit. I think that would help Breeze go away for a little bit. Figure out what you need to do with them. Figure out what we can do to help elevate them, and then go with it. I would almost want to keep Lana and Rusev as two separate entities.
Yeah, but they won't.
Let's face it, though. One person has a lot of heat, one person doesn't.
No. But that's his wife, so, you know, till death do you part.
Yeah, that's hard.
And then a last one here that I think you and I had on the future last year.
Yeah.
That I think could be on the unemployment line this year. Is Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, like you get the feeling of some unhappiness, some unsettled. Like he's not working anything that was on the top. Like last year, he'd come off Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. He was the sole survivor. He lasted longer than John Cena,
mm-hmm.
and they did nothing with it. And it was just a constant.
And now he may as well be jobber to the stars.
Yep, and I mean he's. Like, I look at his match that he had on Raw, he devalued his own finisher. He hit it in the opening little bit, and it was mm-hmm. it was a two count.
By a guy that just got out of a last man standing in a Royal Rumble match.
Yeah.
So that's someone I worry about, and that's someone that's definitely been devalued, and I don't know what there is in 2016, and that's kind of what this category is. It's like, I don't know what there is for you.
Yeah.
And we might as well call it the career. I was going to say. This might as well be called The Creative Has Nothing For You. And one last guy that could be down that road too, maybe I'm biting my tongue. I think there is some momentum for him not to be in there because yeah. there's another possible Undertaker opponent, but maybe one of the stronger ones, and the Ninja Turtle movie's coming out. But where does Sheamus lay in all this?
Well, Sheamus got to help build the Roman Empire. Mm. And with building that, he kind of became a monument statue there.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's stuck in this League of Nations. He's the crone. He's just a crony now mm-hmm. for Hunter and them. There's nothing special about Sheamus. No. He'd won the title, and now it means squat.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't like this subject, and I hope I'm wrong about all of them. I hope they have really successful years.
I hope everyone does. Everyone can smile and be happy.
But then again, some of these talent coming in, like the Bullet Club, maybe a Sami Zayn. Maybe one guy that we never talked about, like a Samoa Joe, that it's going to be really crowded up in that top roster.
Yep.
And now here comes a fun subject. Will they return? Where I just throw out some names to Joel, and he gives me his thoughts. So the one that I've talked to you constantly about, Big Dave Batista.
Nope. He's going to be out with Guardians too. Mm-hmm. I think after everything that happened with 30, that kind of left a sour taste in his mouth. I think he's just going to be like, I can go off and do movies and make money there. So
and not have promises broken.
Yep.
Because he was promised the World Heavyweight Championship.
I owe you one, pal.
Yeah. We saw him recently on Monday Night Raw. The Rock.
No. Insurance and all that jazz is just going to muck everything up. So he's going to show up, but he's never going to be in a wrestling ring competing this year.
The Olympic champion, Curtis Angle.
No, because I get the feeling that both of it... It's like when you have a fight with your girlfriend and there's a lack of communication suddenly. It's like, well, you should have done this. Well, you should have done this. It's this whole back and forth of, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this?
And it sounds like TNA is signing him to a Legends deal, whichever that means.
Oh, Legends.
Bizarre. This one kind of breaks my heart. But we don't know. Tyson Kidd.
Yeah, we'll see Tyson Kidd.
Think so?
Yep.
It's good to know. Nikki Bella.
Yep.
So those are just two kind of just major surgeries.
Yeah.
You know, the neck stuff is so serious. I'm going to throw out three stupid ones. Three really quick stupid ones, and we're going to back with serious ones. Edge.
Nope.
Stone Cold.
Nope.
Shawn Michaels.
Nope.
Here's an interesting one. Ric Flair.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting one to think about.
Yep.
Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
Not even a question in your mind.
Nope. Well, here's the thing, and you told me this, and I was like, I agree with you. There's nothing left for Hogan to do, but Hogan will show up because Hulk Hogan is that yellow and red cockroach that just won't die. There could be a nuclear holocaust, and Hulk Hogan will still somehow survive. It's not nothing negative, but he always finds a way to survive, so Hogan will be back.
Rob Van Dam.
No, I think him and WWE are done, and I'm okay with that.
Montel Vontavious Porter.
Maybe.
Shelton Benjamin.
No.
Carlito.
Nope.
And I can't think of any more. I'll let you throw some more if you can think of it at me, but one more, Bill Goldberg.
Yeah. The one sticking thing I've heard with that is Goldberg just wants one match, WWE wants 6 months to a year, and it's just trying to find
the happy medium.
Yeah.
I think, if Goldberg, if you kind of give him a Brock schedule, I think that's the best for everybody.
Yeah.
You do Mania, you do SummerSlam, and maybe do a Survivor Series, and you're out.
Yep.
Yeah, and then next year we'll put you in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Simple as that. I think there's two other names that are out there in the Hardys, but I just think with the recent stuff that Matt Hardy said about Triple H, that's a definite no now.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I think they're kind of a package together.
Yeah, they totally are, and I'm okay with out getting that package.
And then my ultimate final one, and I think you know who it is. Phillip Brooks.
Well, Phillip Brooks will be busy for the next 3 to 4 years.
Will he, though? If Mickey Gall wins his fight, if Mickey Gall knocks him out, let's say in 20 seconds, if he has another fight, loses again, even though he has an 8-fight deal, does Dana say, I'm done with this? How much patience and how much rope does he have with the UFC if he loses his first 2 fights? Because if he loses the first fight in 10 seconds, Dana won't cut his contract, I don't think. But if he loses the second fight, which then does Dana start thinking about stuff? And then does he start thinking about stuff? And is it just a simple thing of momentum rolling?
Yeah. I don't think we'll see Phillip. If I swear to God, Josh, if next Royal Rumble we're talking about a rumored of him showing up, if next January is anything like this January, I'm just going to start to cry.
I think that's going to be one of the – there's this one and the next one of the two biggest what-ifs of the year for two in-return talents, I think, with CM Punk. It's will he or won't he? And, as a fan of CM Punk, you're like, I do want him to win his fight because I'm a fan of him, and this is his dream, and I want him to succeed as his dream. And part of you is like, I know he said he would never come back, but they all say that.
The only one that ever did it was Macho Man.
He did go to TNA though for a little bit.
Yeah,
they all come back and it's just like wondering, like, he sees this roster, he never really had a recent serious match against guys like Joe and AJ and Austin Aries and Nakamura.
I think Joe still owes him a match too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then the last one for me, and you can throw some names out there if you have any left, the one that I know places the biggest hole in your heart, Daniel Bryan.
No, no, no.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes?
Yes. Because I think you get cleared by so many doctors. I think it's a night after WrestleMania situation. Yeah. And I think, let me preface this too. I'm saying yes because not necessarily for WWE. I'm saying we will see him wrestle somewhere this year.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I'm not saying yes for WWE. I'm saying that he wrestles somewhere this year.
He's got to be going stir crazy. If he's gone a year.
I mean, we've talked about dominoes. Nikki. Maybe Nikki doesn't come back. Maybe her neck injury is too serious. She's gone. Package deal. Bree's gone. Bree wants babies. Brian goes, gives her a baby, quits the company, and all of a sudden, in maybe November, people think he's done. He's just becoming a dad. Boom, ROH.
Yeah, that'd be a big deal for ROH.
Just throwing it out there. I don't think he would go to TNA because I don't think that's worth it for him. There's no one really there for him to face. So all respect to a Bobby Lashley. Maybe if that Kurt match is there still, that's about it.
That would be huge for TNA. I'd watch TNA if that happened.
And that's it for me for names. Is there any names that you can think of?
You did a phenomenal job going through all of them. I got nothing.
I can't think of... I mean, you know, there's always... I mean, New Jack, Joel? Are we going to finally see it?
So we can see him stab someone in an actual WWE ring on live TV?
New Jack, yes!
Yeah. Could you imagine Vince talking to New Jack?
Oh, God. What was the most surprising return to you in 2015? Because to me, person that I didn't think we'd see on WWE television was probably, like, NXT, yeah, but WWE television was Rhino. I didn't think I'd see Rhino on Monday Night Raw ever again.
Yeah, that was definitely a flashback moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd probably be Rhino. There's no massive big returns, but there were small guys here and there that you're like, oh, crap, they're there. We knew the Dudleys eventually would come back.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of any nostalgia guys. Like, I mean, like, it's kind of those mid-2000 guys, and we talked about a D'Lo Brown, but I think a D'Lo Brown is really for a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Or for a nice Royal Rumble pop. I don't think you bring D'Lo Brown to be in the main roster. Santino's a guy, but he pretty much has said in an interview that barring a miracle, a Milan miracle, that he's done.
Yeah.
And he has the Jubilee Arts training school that he has in Toronto. So he's become a trainer, and he's living a great afterlife in wrestling right now. So he
can come back and do the slimy schnick. So.
Exactly. He said he'd like to be a GM as possible, too. So it sucks to see Anthony Carelli, a.k.a. Santino Marella, not really ever got to show like his judo background and have a serious character. I would have liked to see what Eric Young has in TNA.
Yeah.
That switch to Anthony Carelli, serious wrestler. It's unfortunate the closest we got was that match with Brian in Elimination Chamber.
Man, could you imagine if Santino was the one to carry the title into?
That'd have been something.
Or even if he had eliminated Del Rio.
Yeah.
That would have been crazy.
I mean, you mentioned Del Rio. Another name that comes to my mind now is Rey Mysterio.
Yeah?
I'm mixed on that.
I don't... Like, he'd probably have some... I'm just concerned about the knees.
The only thing that's for Rey is the Kalisto match, really.
Yeah.
And that's I guess the AJ match on a bigger stage.
Yeah.
But I don't really... No, I'm more just concerned about... You know, here we are just being like, Brian, come back. And he has this concussion, which is, we know how serious concussions are. And Ray, we're like, oh, Ray, I'm actually really concerned for your health.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the future.
The future is now.
Will we be right? Will we be wrong? Let's go and make some bold predictions on two more things here before we go. Who do you think, Joel, will be the overall MVP in 2016?
Oh, the overall MVP of 2016 will be Big John.
John Cena?
Yep.
Okay.
He will return, and John Cena will have one last... I think this is John Cena's last big, massive run at the top, and he's going to go out in a blaze of glory, and he's going to take a Styles Clash, he's going to take the coup de grace, and I think John starts transitioning into movies, so I think Cena will be the MVP.
I'm going for the home run. I'm picking Finn Balor. I'm going for it. I'm either going to strike out or I'm going to hit a home run, but I'm going to say Finn Balor. I just think there's so much there. Storylines are untouchable. What can happen if they do it right? It's Finn Balor for me.
No, and I don't... I'm not arguing with you.
It's yeah. Then the last one, Joel, as we go out here, who do you think will be the most improved?
You know, it will end up being someone that... It will be Heath Slater.
I was actually going to say someone from the Social Outcast, too. I think Bo Dallas has a chance to really maybe have something.
He beat Flo Rider, so...
He did. Bo Rider for life.
God, this podcast got even lighter.
I think we both say that as not guys we think can be top guys, but guys that, from where they are, can have a nice progression. It's kind of the New Day Award in some ways. of where Xavier and Big E and Kofi were to where they are now. I think both those guys can be at that place this time next year.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Any last thoughts, Joel?
Nope. This is the one podcast I don't have to. We don't have to go back and re-record something.
No. So 2016, you know, it's already a month in, and it's been exhausting. The news, it's been exhausting, but how exciting at the same time with all the possibilities as a wrestling fan this year. It's can't miss the WWE. I can't remember how many other times it's been more exciting. Ring of Honor, you know, they're had their deal with New Japan. And again, that word exciting, there's a lot of stuff there. You know, we didn't even mention a team like the Young Bucks. They're fun to watch. Michael Elgin, Jay Lethal, the Briscoes, everything in New Japan with Okada and Tanahashi, everything there. And, you know, TNA doing decent stuff with EC3 and Eric Young and Bobby Lashley. Michael Bennett's there now. So an exciting time to be a wrestling fan, Joel.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And shouts to Lucha Underground, too. I'd love to give you more of a background of that, but we start our coverage as we record the podcast this week. So Lucha Underground got a second season. I love the way they're formatted as seasons. So it's going to be fun.
Good.
So until next time, cheers.
Roo-roo.
I am phenomenal. Enjoy the day, people.
Well, that will do it for a very special Stick Boy podcast. What do you think? Were we right? Were we wrong? Who knows? Hit us up in 2017 and let us know if we were off or we were right. But make sure you stay tuned and check out everything Stick Boy, We Talk Podcast, and Fresh Take Deliver.